Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Jesus reminds us to watch for the signs of his return. Today, we will explore further what we are seeing in our times that line up with what signs he said would indicate the potential of the end and his return. We will also discuss the practical meaning of this as we watch and as a remnant prepare as he so leads. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. This is End Times Friday.
Good morning.
This will be airing May the 3rd, and you and I have had quite a morning already as we've tried to tape, but we kind of experienced a little bit of what may be ultimately the problem when the technology doesn't work, and we're talking about internet and things. We've been trying to tape for about an hour and a half, and we just had all kinds of difficulties, and it just never came together.
It is interesting how much we take, or personally anyway, how much I take for granted that technology is going to work all the time,
right? Yep.
And when it's interrupted, it throws us for a loop.
Yeah. So something was going on with the internet itself, and it's a little bit of a struggle. So we are going to be talking about kind of an update on Israel and the world conditions that are, as we've look at the reason why we do the end times, which we call it end times, is just really, it's just look at it as very interesting times. None of us can predict exactly when the end is going to come. Jesus does say, pay attention, watch the signs. And so we're talking about those signs. And we're in that interesting spot that more and more are appearing with our answer is, it looks like this could be the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody thinks that in their time, and I think it's purposely set up that way.
Right. And but, Jesus said 2,000 years ago, watch and pray, and said that the time was coming soon, right?
Yeah, and everybody pay attention. And
that
that's
instruction
why,
has been forever.
Yeah. And Revelation, I want you to read Revelation. I want you to process Revelation. Don't neglect Revelation. Everybody process it. I think primarily it was to keep it in the forefront and keep passing it down generation to generation. And to care about it, we know at some time that a generation is actually going to experience it.
Yes.
And that's what he wants us to keep. I think that's what he wants us to keep in front of us is it's really going to happen. Don't neglect it as it'll never happen.
We need to be aware and follow his instruction to watch and pray. And there's real, not just instruction for us that he wants to show us how to walk and live through the midst of it, but an urgency in passing that on to our children and our children's children, as well as simply teaching people to connect exactly what we do, connect to the vine and knowing he will lead you step by step in whatever part of this story we are in. Right.
Right. And I think there's two really important things to always keep in front of us. One, and I'm talking about what's happening today, is that we now are part of a global economy. We're part of a global scenario. And what happens globally can impact us. So, for example, what's
happening? And very quickly.
And very quickly because of the timeline. Things can quickly happen and dramatically impact what happens to us politically, what happens to us economically, et cetera. So I think because of that globalization and that immediacy of it and the impact of it, that the variability of it is just going to keep getting more and more increased, which means it's not predictable.
Right.
And because it's not predictable, we can't live. Well, it looked like it used to be this way. Can't we assume that going forward? And God's saying, no, don't assume it. you know, things are changing and the dynamics are changing. So pay attention. So we want to keep discussing, you know, that and how do we go to God to get wisdom about that. And then two is that spiritually, we know it's headed toward what's called the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
Then mid-trib, where the Antichrist sets himself up as God, and which brings God's wrath. And that because it's spiritual, we have to be ready spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is that the world is going through a decline. And by the way, that's one of the reasons why we could say it looks like maybe it's happening now or going to happen now. Now meaning in the next, you know, 10, 20 years. That the entire world is going through decline, not just a country or not just a place. It's the whole world is going into decline, and it's doing that culturally. We can see what Paul said is in the end there'll be great lawlessness,
mm-hmm.
Where people don't regard anywhere around the world law, and then economically, there's a collapse, and because of all the factors that are currently operating, where the debt load, just for example, of every country is so high,
right,
that it's not sustainable, and therefore at some point it's going to break,
right.
And when it breaks, that could contribute, you know, to the collapse. The dynamics underneath it all, with housing and office buildings. And for example, I was just reading an article about China, that their entire real estate market has collapsed because they propped it up with government funding of buildings and loans.
Right.
But they built too fast, too much, too big, and there aren't people to, aren't businesses and people to occupy them.
Right.
So they're collapsing, and they ultimately have to, you know, the banks default, have their developers default, and then the government is collapsing. So it's happening there, happening in America, happening in Europe. There's a lot of fundamental things underneath it all that are happening. And so the second most important thing for us to realize is to practice and get prepared spiritually, because when the end does come, and the tribulation starts, one world government is set up.
Right.
And through that setup will be called the mark of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
Which
will be required to participate in this economic system.
Yeah,
right?
In the new economic system. So believers are going to be deceived in that place because they too are going to be impacted by the collapse.
Mm-hmm.
And when one world government steps in, they come through with an amazing and a wonderful on the surface economic solution.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, by the way, what that means is they're going to, in a sense, and they even call it this name. They call it the Great Reset.
Right.
They're going to reset the debt, and I think they're just going to wipe out debt worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And just say, you know what, we're just starting over. Now, by the way, this is interesting. Remember, the enemy always co-opts what God does.
Right.
Co-ops meaning tries to copy it, but do it in a deceiving way for his own purposes.
Which is part of why this will look good.
Yeah.
On the surface, right? It will look like a solution and can look like something that is a beautiful solution.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So think about in the Old Testament, every 50 years,
mm-hmm.
there was a reset.
Yeah.
They literally wiped out all debt
mm-hmm.
on the 50th year called Jubilee, and they started over the next year.
Right.
Now, because of it, people became aware of that pattern, obviously. And so, you know, in year 40 or year 45 or year 48, They know that in a couple of years, this debt's going to be released. Mm-hmm. So they would be careful how much they're going to do and what they would charge for it. Of course, they couldn't be usurious with it, but they understood that in a couple of years, it's going to be reset. And so they set up a great pattern of a great reset, which is biblical.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good thing to do, which, by the way, you know, because of Israel coming back as a nation, that's the one thing they haven't done.
Oh, that's interesting.
They have not reestablished the Jubilee as a pattern. But the enemy is going to use the Great Reset. And it's going to be, all debt will be released. I believe it'll be, you hand over your properties that we're going to own them, but we're going to give you debt-free living. You're going to have jobs, you're going to have income. There'll be all kinds of things. It'll be super attractive worldwide, by the way.
Right.
Because why? Well, they created the collapse.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, we know that is the beginning of the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
So spiritually, we have to have awareness and see it and understand it is this is the beginning of the tribulation. Now, by the way, this is really important too, because when people think of the tribulation, there's a tendency to believe and think Antichrist is at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the Antichrist and he's persecuting Christians. And so we're going to know it.
Right.
Well, that's not really how it works. Biblically, mm-hmm. is that the one world government is comprised of 10 heads.
Mm-hmm.
We've always thought prior to the last maybe 10 years that it was 10 nations that kind of set themselves up as the ruling bodies of this one world government. But the more and more and more we look at it and what the World Economic Forum is doing, the WEF, mm-hmm. is they're gathering corporate leaders.
Right.
And saying, we're gonna have a one world government. By the way, their target is 2030.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the interesting signs as to why we could think maybe we're in this time, because we actually have a group of people who are purposely stating that.
Right. And taking steps to try to move that forward.
Yeah. And
right?
it's not yeah. just an ideology of, well, I hope we can get there. Mm-hmm. They can make it happen. So I think it'll be a corporate structure. Mm-hmm. Of 10 heads. And the way it works is they solve the problem, go to one world government. We as individual citizens of nations release our sovereignty from our nation to that one world government.
Mm-hmm.
And we say, okay, we accept you ruling the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we're joining that. So there's no more America versus England. It's one world government, and we're all part of it. But it's a willing do.
And are there any countries that prophetically do not join that? Any at all?
Israel.
Okay.
they separate. And by the way, by that time, there is, and we'll talk more about that. There's a world has come against Israel, and they don't get mm-hmm. accepted into that, you know, into that game.
Okay.
The world willingly accepts it. But there's no Antichrist at the head of that at the beginning of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like this is a great solution. And I believe through deception that a lot of believers around the world will say, first of all, this isn't the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
And two is, this is God providing us a solution.
Right.
But it's not. It's the enemy providing the solution, getting ready for the ultimate rise of the Antichrist. And then what it talks about in Scripture is that the Antichrist isn't even one of the 10.
Mm-hmm.
He's what's called a little horn, and therefore he's an underling to one of the 10.
Okay.
And then he steps up somehow into the group. So his maybe one of his leaders, you know, goes away or something happens, He steps into that position. Then he eliminates three of them.
Mm-hmm.
But when he does it, it's not through, uh-oh, this guy's trying to take over and we better be afraid of him. Everybody thinks, oh, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes from 7 to 5 to 3 to 2. And then he's the last one standing and he becomes the leader of the beast. Because remember, mm-hmm. the beast, when it starts, is that one world government, 10-headed beast.
Mm-hmm.
And the Antichrist isn't the head of the beast. But through the first 3.5 years, he winds up as the head of it. He now becomes synonymous with the beast. So he's mm-hmm. now called the beast. And in mid-trib, and remember, it talks about Satan is behind it all.
Right.
And then you've got the Antichrist, which would be, in a sense, equivalent of Jesus or Satan's son.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the false prophet, who is a Christian, by the way, saying this is good and this is godly, as the Holy Spirit. So it's a 3-in-1.
Mm-hmm.
And the Antichrist then steps up in the mid-trib, and he says, "I am God," and does supernatural stuff through the mm-hmm. enemy. And people revere him as God, and that brings God's wrath. And he comes against the world. And by the way, everybody's against Israel already. Israel become believers, mm-hmm. and they become the ones that are carrying the banner for Christ. But they have to be protected during this last 3.5 years, and then the Battle of Armageddon and Christ's return in the beginning of the millennium. So here's the import of that, and when I go back to the two important things, one is that the variability is going to continue, it's going to happen, and that when the one world government sets up and they have a mark,
mm-hmm.
spiritually, God says, do not take that mark.
Right.
Don't join in, and you need to separate yourself, and I'll take care of you. And by the way, I think that's why God's trying to give us a heads up. Start preparing for things. Start getting ready mm-hmm. for things so that you can function if you can't join the economic system. Because he does say, it's really clear in Scripture, do not take the mark of the beast. Well, the only way we're going to do it is because we have spiritual discernment.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to help everybody with is... And even if it's in the next generation or even in there, the generation after that, is to learn to walk with God, to hear his voice, to have spiritual discernment, to be able to have the fortitude because of practice that we can trust that God is going to take care of us.
Right.
And that he's going to guide us and lead us and be our provider during this time when we can't join the system. And if we have spiritual understanding, it's not because, well, we just decided that this is a good idea. It's that we've been practicing hearing and trusting
right.
and seeing God do supernatural things.
Right.
So
yeah, I love that you're even bringing that up because the word practice, as you say that, I think is a key thing in this season right now. One, praying for discernment and asking God to lead and then being willing to respond to what he leads and he highlights and anything he calls you to act on truly.
Yeah.
But then that idea of truly practicing this, practicing discerning, practicing seeking, practicing walking with him, practicing honestly being a Daniel generation. Right?
Yeah.
What does it look like to walk with God, with God's principles, God's statutes, God's instruction as your plumb line?
Right.
And that's what you hold to. And that's what you do right in the middle of all the rest of it and still live the abundant life.
Right. 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 That's right. And that's why it's learning to abide. It's learning to be in groups that mm-hmm. Together want to learn to abide, to hear God's voice, to help to give wisdom. You need people around you who are seeking the same thing.
Yes.
And that's why, and what we're trying to keep helping people understand is there's no system to it, mm-hmm. and there's no universal answer to it. It's going to be person by person, group by group, place by place. God will say, let me help you understand things, and it's learning to walk with him. And again, we have a great, wonderful example in scriptures. When Jesus met the disciples, he said, the kingdom of God is here. Come and follow me.
Right.
Okay. Did they know anything about this at all? No.
No.
Interesting enough. Now, there were some relatives, you know, brothers that were joining the group, but they didn't know each other. Like, they weren't already a group. Okay, you group, come with me. It was, no, you personally come with me and join the group. How long did it take the disciples to learn to trust God? 3 years.
Right.
See? And just think about it and just take the picture of it. Could they have done in Acts 3 years later what they learned, what they were at day one?
No.
See, there's no way. So it's not like it's, oh, because you're a believer, everything is going to come together for you.
Right.
No, it's to practice learning, dialoguing, working through, you know, what is this all about and how does this work and how come this didn't work? And what does it mean that you're going to bless us and despite the circumstances? And how are we supposed to participate in supernatural and healing? And can we trust that? And how do we trust that? And what about faith? And so all of these things, see, take time. And God said, it's okay. And by the way, your ability to get there isn't dependent on your beginning point. It's just start learning it.
Right.
Let's go. You know. And so what we're trying to encourage everybody is to take the time to learn it, because I believe that it's a moment in time where there's dire consequences if we don't learn it. And God doesn't force us to learn it. He invites us to learn it.
Absolutely.
As you look at, just the invitation, by the way, let's go to, Mark, go to Mark 1:14.
Okay.
And read 14 and 15. Mark 1:14 and 15.
Sure. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.
Okay. And then go down to 16, 17, and 18.
Sure. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him.
Yeah. It's interesting, this is why we have a whole course on the kingdom, is that he said he preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. The gospel is the good news.
Right.
And the good news is that when you enter the kingdom, and the kingdom is the spiritual place of the life of God that you join through surrendering your will, because he's the king and I'm not, and I enter into his spiritual kingdom, which is superior to the kingdom of the world. So he said the gospel is actually about entering that kingdom.
Right.
Because that's where everything happens, and I will deliver to you, you know, the supernatural knife. And he says, the kingdom is at hand. Repent. Repent means stop following what you're doing.
And turn around.
and come and follow me. And then I'll teach you the kingdom of God. And that would be the invitation to all of us, is that, and this is what's so cool, is that, remember, it's a spiritual place.
Right.
So we're living in the kingdom of the world under the control of Satan and under the control of the enemy, kill, steal, and destroy, entropy. The kingdom of God is just a step away.
Yes.
And that's why he says, just turn around, come be with me now, wherever you are. and let me teach you how to live in the kingdom.
Right. And it really starts in surrender, right? Surrendering to the fact that he is king and you are not.
The only way. So the only way you can enter the kingdom is like a little child. Mm-hmm. And I'm willing to go with you, and I don't have any of my own will. And that's why Christ says, what? Deny self. Mm-hmm. Stand on what I've done at the cross and come and follow me in the kingdom. And so if we learn to live in the kingdom, see, we'll start to gain that spiritual strength, that mm-hmm. spiritual discernment that will give us the ability to make it through what's coming up.
Right.
And what I'm trying to help everybody understand is, even if you say, well, I don't know, you know, if the end is even near at all, and I don't know about that. Well, one thing you can be assured of, the world's going to get trickier.
Right.
And it's going to impact you. So why don't you just learn to live in the kingdom? Because that's where God can deliver you through whatever's going to happen.
Right.
Even if it doesn't happen. And another thing would be to consider, if it is coming, which the signs are, it looks like it could be. Well, we need the spiritual strength to get ready for that and prepare and work it through with that. And that's why there is an importance to this. And the beautiful thing is, we may not be right on the timing, and that's not critical, but we can for sure live the life of the kingdom, absolutely.
Yes.
And in a very tricky world that we know is getting worse and worse and worse and trickier and trickier and trickier and harder and harder and harder. More frustrating. Well, let's go live in the kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy. And as we do that, let's consider the signs that are pointing to this could be the time that we all enter into.
Right.
We had a great discussion today, and we'll continue on Israel. We'll have Denny Weinberg back. There's lots of stuff. I got so much stuff every day. I could talk on. Okay, here's what happened today.
right. Pay attention.
and it's amazing. There's all kinds of stuff going on in Israel. So we've got to keep following that. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you tell us the kingdom of God is at hand, and we are to follow you, to learn of you, to let you give us wisdom, discernment, strength, power, experience the supernatural. Overcome the variableness of the world, and at the same time prepare for what I believe you're trying to show us. And so we praise you and thank you for that, and we can consider it an honor and a privilege that we can follow you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Rich. As always, a pleasure just to have these conversations with you. And I hope that our listeners today are encouraged, even in that last phrase you just said, the kingdom of God is at hand.
Yes.
We are invited to walk in that kingdom day in, day out, 24/7, regardless of what's going on in the world. So be encouraged, go to the feet of Jesus, surrender at his throne, and let him walk you into this and watch him pray.
Yep.
Absolutely. Amen. So thanks again. If you have questions, send them in to us at questions@abideministry.com. We'd love to talk about it. We'll see you next time.
We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.